Luke 5, 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. I think we might have a little difficulty here. I've got the check mark. That's going now. Didn't take the first time. Okay, so Luke chapter 5. For a few minutes this evening, we want to look at the topic, launch out into the deep. Again, before we get into the lesson, I want to welcome everyone. It's good to see everyone here. And I appreciate all the visitors we have this evening. I'm sorry, but I don't think you can compete with the three children that were here this morning. It was such a wonder, a wonderful time to have them here, but we want everyone to know how welcome and glad we are that you're here. Launch out into the deep. Let's look at the text from beginning at chapter 5 and verse 1. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesareth and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. In Luke chapter 5 here, some of the events that go along in this chapter, we see the catch of these fish. We see the healing of a leper, the cure of the man carried by four men. We see the call of Matthew. We see complaints by Pharisees and a following discussion. And the call of some of the apostles is woven into this narrative. So there is a lot going on in Luke chapter 5. These are events leading up with calling his apostles, and his genus, Jesus, is beginning his work. And when we look at this, and it talks about Gennesareth, the Lake of Gennesareth, this lake is the same as the Sea of Galilee and the Sea of Tiberias, depending on who is referring to it. Some of it describes the land round about. Some of it is in reference to the people describing it. But it came to pass, while the multitude pressed upon him, heard the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesareth, saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. This account revolves around events that Jesus did, not what he was talking about. When he goes and he gets into the boat to preach, we do not have the sermon that he was talking about. But it talks about this unsuccessful night of fishing. And the men who were going to be called to apostleship, they were cleaning up their gear, getting ready to store it for the next fishing trip. And here Jesus accomplishes several things at once. By using the boat as a pulpit, he avoids the press of the crowd. And by means of a great catch a little bit later, he can provide insight for men about being called as the apostles. Again, Luke does not record this sermon, but what we are looking at is what Jesus did rather than what he said. This miracle is unique to Luke. John records a similar miracle, but the one that John records is after his resurrection, after the resurrection of Christ. And when we talk about Jesus telling him to launch out into the deep, again, this is what I want us to focus on. Friends, every one of us needs to be ready to launch out and put down into the deep. When we look at this text, to start with, we see a devoted possession. In verse 3, he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Notice, Jesus used this boat. This boat was ready for the master's use. What an honor that would be for Jesus to say, I want to use this of what you have. I want to use that. The crowd is pressing to him, and he uses Simon's ship. What's the lesson there for us? Jesus is going to use our possessions. What's he going to use? He may use our car for us to go somewhere and visit somebody. May use our car to go somewhere and teach somebody. May use our house for us to invite people to come so we can talk to them about the gospel. May use our money. May use the opportunities that we have. Whatever we have, Jesus wants to use them. The possessions, again, we have nothing. They all belong to God. They need to be devoted to God. We need to see them as God's things for God's use. But how many times are we not willing to use what God has given us for his service? Well, I can't use this for that. Somebody might mess it up or might do something or this or that might happen to it. We make all kinds of excuses. So we shouldn't boast or be presumptuous about our possessions. God has given us what he has to use them for his work. Doesn't matter if it's big, if it's small, expensive, if it's inexpensive. Everything that God has given us, he wants us to use for his work. So we see this devoted possession. Well, we see a gracious commission. Launch out and let down. In verse 4, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Put out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Friends, that's something I think I speak for myself. That's hard for me to do sometimes. I like to stay where things are shallow. You get out into the deep and it's kind of unknown. You don't know what you're going to fall into. But Christ tells us to launch out into the deep. What is that showing? He wants us to prove our faith to him and launch out into the deep. Don't do little things for Christ. Well, I shouldn't say that. We should do little things, but not to the exclusion of doing big things, whatever that may be. And again, not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Jesus followed up this command with another word in here. He said, launch, and he's going to say, follow. You launch out, you show me your faith, and you follow. This is a call, just like we talk about the Great Commission, go into all the world. Here Jesus is telling Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And we've got to think about this too. When he says, let down your nets for a catch, he's expecting a catch. Christ is expecting a catch. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. When Christ takes possession, He gives us a commission. Christ takes possession of us. He possesses us. Then he gives us a commission. I want you to go and do this. Launch out into the deep. We can't come up with excuses. You think about everything that God has done to us. Things can be scary out there in the deep, but then you think about like the deep riches of God's love. We aren't scared of that. We're glad to jump into the depth of his love, but when he tells us to go and do something, sometimes we get scared about that. Well, notice in this this account, we see a humbling confession. But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." Stop and think about this. This would be embarrassing as a fisherman. We've fished all night and we've caught nothing. We've been trying. We've been toiling and struggling all night to catch, but we've caught nothing. But this is not lost when Christ calls us to go and to do something. In Psalm 30, verse 11, we looked at this last week. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Things that are dark for us, things that are sorrowful, God can take those things of mourning and turn into dancing, turn into happiness. And because of what God does for us, we should be willing to give him thanks. We should be willing to give him praise, not for a few minutes on Sunday, but for all eternity. Well, in this account, we see a God-honoring resolution. Simon answered and said to him, "Master," verse 5, "we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." It's interesting when you look at this, and we can understand Peter's attitude. He would have been tired. They'd been working. They hadn't caught anything. Jesus in verse 4 said, "Let down your nets for a catch." Peter says in verse 5, "At your word, I will let down the net." It seems like there were several nets on this boat, and Jesus tells them to let them down. Peter says, "I'll let down the net," a net, like he wasn't expecting much. And you can almost hear the sarcasm in Peter's voice. You know, we've been working all night, and you want us to launch out into the deep and let down your nets? Okay, I'll show you. We aren't going to catch anything else. I'll let down a net. I'll just show you we can't do anything else. And it's almost, sometimes I think some of these stories are humorous, because when you look at it, Peter's like, it's not going to do any good to let down this net. But what does Christ do? He fills that net. He fills it till it's breaking. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their nets were breaking. Their nets were breaking. And then when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets was breaking. So they signaled to their partners to the boat and come to help, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. How do you think Peter's feeling now? When he says, "Okay, I'll let down a net," and then there are so many fish that come in, they signal their partners, and the boat starts to sink. Peter was making his decision on what had happened in the past. You know, I tried this. We didn't catch anything. It didn't work. How many times have you heard people use that excuse today? We've tried this before. It didn't work. Well, let's try it one more time. And Peter knows where to find launch out Where did Peter launch out? It was at thy word. Where Christ told him to do something, that was where Peter launched out to. And friends, when Christ tells us to do something, that's where we need to launch out to. Those going out at his word have good cause to praise him. Just like Peter, Jesus said, launch out into the deep, at thy word I will do this. And God rewarded him. At thy word I will. Friend, we should say, at thy word I will. At thy word I'll be here at every service I can. At thy word I'll talk to everybody that I can. I'll share. I can't hold it in my heart. It's in my heart so much. At thy word, I'll share it with everybody. At thy word, I'll have this smile on my face because I've got a smile in my heart because I've been redeemed from my sins. At thy word, whatever you tell me, Lord, I'll do it. I'm your servant. You're my master. And that goes against so much of what we are exposed to in this society and how we are brainwashed. We live in such a selfish society. It's all about me. Somebody wants us to do something. Well, I don't want to do that. Friends, when the master tells us to do something, we need to say, at thy word, I will do it. Well, next, let's notice an amazing satisfaction. When, in verse 6, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. We talk about in season, out of season. Sometimes we think things are going to happen. Sometimes we think they may not. Here is a time when Peter was not expecting anything, but he was rewarded. He was satisfied beyond imagination because he had obeyed what God told him to do. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works for the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. God is the only thing that's going to satisfy us. When he tells us to do something, we are going to have satisfaction. We are going to have peace of mind. Are we going to meet with discouragement? Yeah. Satan's going to come at us. Satan's going to come at us every day, every way he can. But we just keep on. We do what God tells us to do. We don't have the attitude like Peter. And again, I have appreciated our study of Peter so much on Wednesday evening, seeing how he changed from what we might call a green fisherman when we meet him in the accounts. How he changes and becomes this pillar of the church that had such profound writings that influence us today and tell us how to live a godly and holy life. This man that would fly off the handle at the beginning, and then even by the time we get to the discussion at Jerusalem over circumcision, what did he do? He waited till everybody else had argued and then made his point. We see him maturing. And what was it that brought about this change in Peter? From when he said, at thy word, Lord, we'll do it. I'll let down a net. What was it that brought about this change? It was Christ working in him. And it changed Peter. And Peter could see it was Christ working in him. And friends, whenever we submit to Christ and do what he tells us to do, he's going to change us. We shouldn't be, if we've been in the church 20, 30 years or less than that, we shouldn't be the Christian we were years ago. We should have grown and matured. But we see this amazing satisfaction. Well, we also notice with this brotherly cooperation. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. It's interesting. Jesus tells Peter, launch out into the deep. And Peter comes up with excuses. We've we've fished all night. You know, we're tired. We're getting ready for tomorrow. Let me go home. Jesus says, launch out into the deep. Peter does it. There's this catch of fish. There's this catch of fish so great for him that he signals his brothers. And they come and help him. And friends, when we launch out into the deep, doing God's will, we are going to have brothers, we are going to have sisters that come and help us. It's an astounding wonder and an interesting introduction to Jesus calling these disciples that are going to be fishers of men. You think about Peter, there's so many things go through my mind thinking about this little account here. He tells Peter, launch out into the deep. And Peter is amazed with the number of fish that he catches. Peter, Jesus says, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preaches the first gospel sermon, what does he have? He has this huge catch of fish. He's a fisher of men. These souls respond to Peter's message. And who was there with him? The rest of the apostles. Peter's message is recorded. The other apostles were there speaking. When he calls his brothers to help him with the physical fish, his brothers are there on the day of Pentecost speaking to the others. And we see them going from there out into the world. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the world. And by the time we get to Colossians, we see that the gospel had gone out into all the world. They launched out into the deep. Is that scary? That can be scary. But at thy word, I will do it. So he invited their brothers to help, to cooperate. And if they didn't, maybe they might not have been able to accomplish the work. Are we willing to ask others to help us? You know, God has given me something to do. I want to do it, but can you help me? We should say, sure. We should say, sure, let me help you. Others, we all need help, and that's why God put us together to help each other. So when we think about this cooperation, we see again from the physical to the spiritual, when we talk about cooperating in the Lord's church, in the kingdom, we can get so much done, so much done. Well, in this text, we also see sincere humility. In verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why would Peter say, I am a sinful man, O Lord? Why didn't he say that at the beginning? Was Peter thinking about all the things that he had done in the past to be a sinful man? I believe this is showing his heart when he was saying, nevertheless, at thy word, I will launch out into the deep. It showed he was being sarcastic. I'll do it. And then again, Christ just overwhelms him with the result of him obeying him. And Peter recognizes, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. So Peter's confessing his sin, which he had in his mind where he was reluctant to obey God's word. When we obey God, we can't do it, again, out of a sense of duty. It is our duty to do it, but we have to have the right attitude. We should be thankful that we have the privilege. We should look at our service to God as a privilege, not as a duty. Again, going back to the parable of the prodigal son this morning, he didn't realize till after he had gone into the far land how the servants in his father's house had it better than he had it where he was. It would be a privilege to go back to the Father's house. How many times do we complain? I pray we don't have to go into a far land, into the land of sin, to appreciate the privilege we have of doing the Lord's work. It's a privilege. It's an honor. We wear the name Christian. God is our Father. So when we serve God, when we serve our Savior, we should do it with joy. We shouldn't do it with grumblings or reservations or complaints. Well, I'll do it if he'll do it. I'll do it, but I really don't want to. We are blessed with this service that God has given to us. And when we obey God, it should be out of a heart of joy. And again, obedience is one of those things that transforms us. How did Peter go from what he was to what he became? It was by obeying God. And you look at any and everybody throughout the Bible where we are to press on. Obedience is a tool of transformation. We are to renew our minds, but it's not going to do any good to renew our minds if our actions don't follow. And then again, when we obey God, we obey him right away, all the way, in a happy way. And when God says here, and whatever follows that here, he's not saying just listen to this. He's saying obey this. You need to do this. That was stressed over and over in the Old Testament, where Moses taught the Israelites that. Well, with this too, when he came to this realization, what did he do? He fell down at Jesus' knees. And what is that? That's a spontaneous act of worship on Peter's part. And notice too that Christ received it. So verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So he falls down to worship Jesus. Jesus accepts that worship, showing that he is the Son of God. He is worthy of accepting worship from him. And notice after this, verse 11, so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. We see a complete consecration. I don't like to say one thing is harder than another, but this is something that's hard for people to do. We want to obey God up to a certain point, and then we think we're justified in stopping there instead of obeying God all the way. When he says, launch out into the deep, we are willing to wade out a little bit deeper and deeper, but we don't want to go all the way out there into the deep. That's just too scary. But that's what he wants. He wants us to totally immerse ourselves in his word, totally immerse ourselves in him, give ourselves to him completely. We can't be part Christian and part person in the world. We can't do that. It's impossible. Again, any sin is going to separate us from God. It's going to turn his face away from us. So we've got to learn to follow Jesus. And one of the things that will help us to follow Jesus again is doing it out of a sense of joy instead of a sense of duty. And when we approach anything with a sense of joy, it's going to give us strength. Have you ever done a job, somebody told you to do a job, and you really hated the job, and it just made the job so much harder? Or somebody gave you a job to do, and oh, I love doing this job, and you just want to give your whole self to it. Friends, God wants us to do a job for Him and to give Him our whole self. But what happens? Sometimes when God calls us, people are still going to be sitting by their boat and they're saying, I tried that. I tried that. It just didn't work. Or, okay, I'll get in the boat and I'll go this far with you, Jesus. And we see so many Christians doing that. We see churches doing that. We'll go this far with you, but we don't want to go any farther for whatever reason. We've got to launch out into the deep. We have got to completely consecrate ourselves to the Lord. And when I read this, so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. And as I was trying to look for illustrations to go along for this, and I came across these boats, and I thought it fit perfectly with this. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. These just weren't recreational fishing boats. This was their livelihood. This was how they supported themselves. This is how they supported their families. So when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Friends, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to forsake all? Why do we have to do that? Because God demands the number one spot in our lives. That doesn't mean we have to give up everything. We've got to be willing to. We've got to put Christ first. He doesn't want us to walk away from our families, but He wants us to put Christ first in our family. But they had great sacrifice. They gave it up. And what are we willing to give up today? A few minutes here, a few minutes there, maybe a few dollars here. Friends, we got to launch out into the deep. And it's I just see so many lessons for us in these 11 verses. And when we launch out into the deep, we are obeying God. He is going to bless us. He is going to have others help us. He is going to help us grow. He is going to get the glory. It is going to build our faith, and He is going to reward us. What's our option? We can set back on the shore. We can go on home and say, the day's done, it's over. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Friends, do we hear the Master's call today when He tells us to come and to follow Him, when He tells us to do the things that He wants us to do? And again, everything that He has told us to do is for our own good, for our own safety, that will help us and protect us so that we can have a home with Him in heaven. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.